This is Anne from Diverse Wellbeing, a new podcast where parents of children with additional needs find support, connection, and real conversations on embracing self-care. In this week's episode, I'm talking with Laura, a parent of a little girl with autism. I had the opportunity to get to know Laura and her daughter Grace in the ASD preschool where I worked. I hope you enjoy listening to our conversation. We discuss many topics from early diagnosis to parents' well-being and finding time for self-care. So will we start maybe when did you notice?
I suppose when Grace was kind of about 18 months, it became very obvious that there was something.
Okay.
She didn't have any interest in people around her. She didn't show any interest in being involved in anything. Mm. And whereas at that stage, it was all just babble, you know, she was just babbling. Mm. So I was just saying, oh, no, she's still very young. And at that stage, I suppose I had Grace, who was 18 months, a son who was 12, and then a baby who was a month old. So I was trying to, you know, I suppose my mind would have been focused on the newborn baby a little bit more. But I remember my father said to me, Laura, do you think there's something wrong? And I got wicked defensive. And I said, no, there's nothing wrong with her. She's perfectly fine. She's just a baby. She's still very young. Mm. And he was okay. And he'd leave it a while. And then he'd say it again.
Okay.
And I remember my mother was alive at the time, and my mother used to be saying, leave her alone. Leave her alone. You know, because they knew there was something. And I think they saw it more than I did.
Yeah.
So I brought her to, I remember I brought her to the health nurse, and Ella would have been only a baby. And I remember I brought them to the two of them for a checkup, and I had said, do you think there might be something? And she said, oh, no, she's only small. She said, don't be worrying about things like that. So I went off, I thought, I'm validated now. Yes. There's nothing wrong. And I went home and I was the health nurse said she's fine, and, you know, maybe just get her hearing checked.
Right.
So she was going to refer her. So after a while, after about a month or two, I rang my doctor and I said, was the referral made? Yes, the referral was made. So I rang Arkeen and they said, it will take 4 years. Actually, the words they used was, the waiting list is 36 months. So I said, we'd go private. So I brought her down to Whitfield in Waterford, and the man, she was only in the door. And when I think back on it, I think to myself, how could I have been so naive? And I think I just didn't want to believe there was something wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, even though I knew deep down there was. And he just looked at her, and he looked in her ears, and he said, there's nothing I can see, he said, but I refer her on to Annette down in Waterford Region. And I said, but that'll take 4 years, will it? And he said, no, I'll get her seen wicked fast. The man couldn't have been, he was lovely.
Yeah.
Absolutely lovely man. And, you know, he was so good because he knew himself.
Yes.
You know, that there was something, you know, other than her here. So we went down to, but a few weeks later then, Annette called us and we went down to Waterford, and she'd done the hearing tests, and she called me into the office then, and she just said to me, my sister had come with me, so I gave Grace out to my sister, and she said, just come in here for a minute, I want to talk to you. And I said, and she said, Laura, don't take this up the wrong way, you know. She said, but do you think there could be something else? And then I just said, yeah, I do. I said, I do think there's something else. I said, because she said her hearing is perfect. And I said, right, okay. I said, what do you think it could be? And she said, I think it's autism. And I said, oh, okay. And I said, right, what do I do next? And she said, well, you need to go see your health nurse. And I just said to her simply, I was at the health nurse. The health nurse said there was nothing wrong. And I could see her face just kind of change. And she said, right, okay. She said, I'll sort that. So now she was a wonderful woman. She was so, do you know what? I'm so glad that we went that path and met her.
Yes.
Because she was so nice. So we went off anyway, and that was the start of it. And then I got a phone call from my head nurse. She saw the doctor, and then she had autism, and then we kind of went on from there. But of course, as you know, the lists are so long. So I was kind of looking into what, I was just Googling everything, because to be honest, I didn't know anything much about autism.
Right.
So she started, Grace would have started then when she was 2 years and ten months, almost three. She started here in a play school, Little Scholars. My sister-in-law works there, so she was saying, you know, she'd be fine here. And I mean, letting her go in there the first, even though I knew Frida was there,
yeah.
I was so terrified.
Yeah.
You know, I was saying, because at that point, Grace, she would try to climb walls, she would try to climb out windows, climb out doors.
Yep.
There was just no, she was always just trying to get out of everywhere, and there was no communication between her and anybody else at that stage.
Yes.
But they were great. They took her on, they kept her for the year. And we then, in that time, we got her diagnosed because I wanted her to go to Cherry Blossom.
Yes.
And then we got that diagnosis. She got into Cherry Blossom. And my God, she had got on so well. And to be honest, and I'm not only saying this because you're sitting here, but I think the people that work in Cherry Blossom are just wonderful people. And
yes.
They give parents, like I remember when I went up there, like I mean Grace, at that point, she never slept, like never. She was still in nappies. She was, like it was just, I think that was the hardest point.
Okay.
Was probably from there up to about six.
Yeah.
And I mean, yourself and the other women that worked there, you made it feel like it wasn't the end of the world. You know, your world wasn't ending. Because I didn't know anything really about autism, only through Google.
Yeah.
I had never met a doctor who spoke to me about it. I never really met, like even when we got her diagnosed, like even
the psychologist,
like they never even spoke to us about it. It was just kind of like, I sent you on the diagnosis. That, you know, it's very, I think that's what parents find the hardest, is when you don't know how to help your own child,
that's
or
right.
What to do. Or,
and those forms or those reports can be very hard to read.
Yeah,
or hard to make sense of sometimes.
Yeah, because it's very kind of everything that's wrong.
Yes.
You're kind of thinking, my God, like is this going to be my life forever?
Yeah.
And it is what you think.
Mm.
And I remember I worked up until Ella would have been maybe 5 or 6 months, and Grace would have been maybe 2.5, 3. No, she wouldn't have been. Yeah, she would have been 2.5. And I gave up my job then because it was becoming apparent that, you know, she needed more. And so then, that's a big thing as well.
It is. Mm-hmm.
It's massive.
Mm-hmm.
I found that very hard.
Yeah.
Giving up your job. Because my job, I suppose, I loved meeting people.
Yeah.
And I loved going into work and, you know, having a chat and just being in work. And I loved being independent and having your own wage and to all of that. And that's all gone in the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people feel, then you get isolated then, and you just feel like, where do I go from here?
Yeah.
You know, some people are lucky, they don't, you know, they might have, that. Like that's another, it is specific childcare. For even like I was always afraid of, the local creches and stuff. Like I was terrified to put her in there.
Yeah.
Because it's not the people that work there. It's just what she
would have been capable of at that point, and they wouldn't have been, you know what I mean? You know, people probably think you're over exaggerating when you say
you're not,
but you're not. You're like, it's kind of hard to explain that, you know. No, listen to it.
Yes.
This will happen.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. They're very much one on one and sometimes two on one.
Yeah.
And you'd wonder why, how come there's two adults to one child? How could that be necessary? But sometimes for safety, it is.
It is.
It's about keeping them safe.
It is.
Yeah.
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 And I always found, like, you know, even in, when she was in Cherry Blossom, like, you know, the effort was always made to bring her out.
Yes.
Even in, like, she was in the buggy and she was happy in the buggy, and even in her second year there, like, I remember you were saying you went to you know, the little coffee shop.
Yes. Cluain,
And I mean, at that stage you couldn't bring, like, it was impossible to bring her in anywhere to sit down and have eat something.
Yeah.
But that was the start of that then.
Yes.
So when you done it, I thought, do you know what? We can do it.
Yes.
You know, and it's things like that. And it's, that's why I found that a big part in my journey with Grace. Because it opened up my eyes, I think, to potential of what she can be and what we can do and where you can get to. Whereas if you're in your own little, but you're telling yourself, no, you can't. No, you can't. No.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just kind of have to try.
Yeah.
Push yourself a little. And I mean, if you had to do, like, I used to bring Grace down to Super Value at night time, late in the evening, when there'd be no one in the supermarket, like half an hour before they close. And because again, when you go into the supermarket, she just runs.
Yes.
But when there's nobody there,
yes,
I could just walk across the top of the aisles so I could see her. And I did that for about 2 years, and then we were able to then bring it on to going in with his people and getting her to stand. Because I would go through the whole routine of going to the supermarket, picking up a few bits, going to the counter, trying to have her wait. And now we're at the stage where you can.
That's fantastic.
Oh, and you know what? It opens. I know it sounds so simple, but it opens so many doors.
It does, yeah.
You know?
It does.
It does.
But you persevered, Laura.
But I think you have to, because everything, well, with Grace anyway, everything takes a long, long time.
Yeah.
Do you know, it can take two years.
Yes.
But you get there.
Yes.
You know?
Actually, that's, I was talking to somebody about this recently, and how, you know, when they're, say, when a little child is about, say, 3-4, developmentally, they might only be like 10 months, 15 months. And you've this little boy or girl looking at you, and they're fine and big and strong, but they actually, like, developmentally might only be a very young child.
Yeah.
And once you realise that, you say, oh, I get that now. I get why they're kind of maybe just playing the way they're playing, or wanting the tummy rubbed and the little things. But as they grow and mature, that shortens.
It does.
And they do remain maybe a couple of years behind. But they catch up.
But that's okay.
Once you know that. Yeah, and you're ready for it. You put that into context in there, in what you do with your day and your life, and, you know, your
and it's something, the whole very situation. Simple, if you were told by a professional, really, at the start, you know, like, this is how your life will go.
Yeah.
Because I was lucky enough through our preschool that you all were kind of, you know, this will pass.
Yes.
This will pass. I remember you used to say to me, like, this will go as well, like everything else. And you just have to trust in that. And, you know, once you do, you might have a few days where things go backwards. Yeah. But again, you've come so far.
Yes.
And I was only saying to you, I panic when I, you know, if we're having like a bit of a bad stint, and you think, oh no, are we going to go back 3 years?
Yeah.
But again, it passes.
Yes.
You know?
And have a bit of faith in that, in the, it's all phases and stages.
Yeah, exactly.
And it'll, sometimes I think, like any child, when they're sick. Yeah. They go regress a bit and they want mammy and they want cuddles and all that. And I think like a child who's autistic is no different. They'll want all the same things. But when they do have like an episode of like this crying and the screaming and the kind of stuff that they might have done before, often it can just be something's going on.
Yeah.
Or it could be a little spike in development where there's some shift happening and they're not kind of coping with it very well. And that's their way to let you know.
Yeah.
And sometimes we say to, well, and her mum and dad would say, you know, to Abby, come on now, Abby, use your words.
Yeah.
And what was brilliant last week, now she ended up vomiting straight afterwards, but she said to me, sore belly, sore belly. And she really rubbed her belly. And I said, oh, do you? I said, do you, Abby, have a sore belly? Oh dear. And she vomited.
Yeah.
I thought, well, fair play to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You did have a sore belly, and I said, now you'll feel better. Yeah. She told me.
Yeah.
And I think that's the most precious gift, is like being able to communicate with your child and getting a sense of they're not very happy, or they're not sleeping well, or they're sleeping great and they're eating well, and all those little ways that you can gauge them. Because I think you're gauging them every day.
Oh, you are.
Every moment, aren't you?
You are trying to, because that's what I suppose is the hardest thing, is when you know there's something wrong.
Yeah.
And you're trying to work it out.
Yes.
You know, like, even though it's like Abby Grace is starting to speak, and she has what, it's the conversational.
Yes.
You know, it'll eventually come.
But it's words now. Yes.
And it's like sometimes she has, you know, 4 or 5 word sentences.
Yeah.
But it's just, again, to get it.
Yes.
So, you know, like if I say to her, you know, what's wrong, or she's crying, I'd love for her to be able to say, I'm upset because, or, you know, so you'd know what to do to help.
Yeah.
But I mean, when you look at it, how much the progress in the last few years, you're saying in another few years, it'll be massive again.
It will. It's tremendous.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
It is. And it's, I mean, from when she started school, like last year, last November now, she toilet trained. She turned 7 last year and had no interest in it beforehand.
Yes.
Do you know? And I was doing this and it's, yeah, they're still trying to, but then I just said, you know what, just leave her alone. She'll do it when she's ready.
Yes.
And that was it.
Well there done. Yeah.
No pressure. Yeah. She just, off she went and just done it. She noticed a little girl in school had a certain type of knickers.
Right.
In her little, because they all have a little drawer each with their bits and pieces, and she wanted those knickers.
Yeah.
And then she brought in the knickers to school, and that was it. And
the cleverness of that.
Yeah, and was so ready because she didn't have any accidents.
Wow.
Do you know?
Wow.
She done it through the night. And
but the cleverness to spot that, and
And I want to wear those, you know. But she was, she saw those particular type of knickers and she wanted those knickers and that was it.
Yeah.
And she wanted to wear.
Yeah.
And that was it.
And her little, her personality's coming out there, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the same with the speech. Do you know, they just didn't have much interest in it for a long time, you know.
Yeah.
But then realised, like, they were down the shop one day with my father. This is the start of it. And my younger daughter Ella, like my father was saying to Ella, what do you think Grace would like? Does she want those crisps? And like you'd often say to Grace, crisps, and like just talking to her, but there'd be never a response.
Yeah.
But then Ella said to her, Grace, and she had a packet of Tato, yes Tato, yes onion rings.
Wow.
Yes Tato. And do you know what? A 4-year-old child at the time taught us how to communicate with our child, with Grace.
Yes.
And my dad said, she said yes and pointed at the ones she wanted, and that was the start of it then.
Wow.
Isn't it just to me? And I was saying, oh my God. Yeah. I said, like, something so simple.
Yeah.
But so, like, a child.
That's right.
You know,
it's beautiful, actually. Being open to that.
Oh, yeah.
Being open to the fact that the littlest one can be the little key to unlock stuff. Because Grace is close to her, so close to her in age.
Do you know? And now, like, she wouldn't, like, Grace always, if you say to Grace, she wanted to go, so, you know, she might say Park Clonmel, you know, she loves the Park Clonmel. So I'd say, okay, who's going? And she'd say, Mommy, Grace, Ella. You know, we're the tree that have to go everywhere.
Yes.
you know?
Her people.
Yes. This is the tree that we have to go out. Mammy, Grace, and Ella. And that's, you know, she's funny. Like, she's calmed us so much. And it's great. It's, the communication is just everything.
Yeah.
It makes life so much easier.
Yeah.
You know, and like we even stopped using the buggy. We don't need to use that anymore. Because she's actually, when I call her,
yes.
Now, it's only now the odd thing time, you know, something might, you know, I really have to get to that.
Yes.
And she might take off, but most of the time she can stay beside.
You can trust her.
She'll hold my hand and you can trust her.
I find actually sometimes if I bring Abby out like that, she'll say where she'd like to go, and it could be the park or play. We might go to Hot Chats upstairs and she'd say Playhouse, and so she'll put the thumb up and then the next finger and she's her list, and there's always like Supermax and chicken nuggets, chips, sauce, juice, and like, which is brilliant.
It is brilliant. And it's fantastic.
From when I park the car, you know, and I'm copying, I'm completely mimicking what her mum and dad do. Yeah. You know what I mean? And like my daughter, my son, if they take her, they do the same thing. When I open the door, I'll say, now, Abby, holding Nanny Anne's hand, and we're walking. Good girl, and off we go. And we're going to get this, whatever this is that she wants, and off we go. I said, now we're going to pay the lady. And so I'm saying it to her as we're doing it, and it seems to keep her with me.
Literally
and physically, and like she's mentally, she's with me. We're paying for it then. But you see, where she's going to school as well, I know that they do outings, and they go to Mother Hubbard's for, could be toast and a drink of juice.
Yeah.
Or and they go like for walks and that, of course, but and they might go over to Tesco to buy something. Now, again, it could be something that they'll all share, but they're allowed to pick something. So or just look at the toys and then step away from them, which is massive.
That is massive to
press all the buttons on the toys and then step away.
That's very good.
And leave it there, you know. So
that's a good lesson.
It's so I find that helps when I say, because I try to set some ground rules with her. Now, holding Nanny Anne's hand, let's go, we're going to walk, get that, and now look, here we go, we're going to pay the lady, and then holding hands again, back to the car. Because I'm aware, like I'm older, but I can't run after her, Laura.
I know, and that fast, you see.
That freaks me out sometimes, you know.
I know.
So it's a case of, if I bring her somewhere, it has to be safe and manageable for me first.
Yeah, I know.
And then for her second, then, you know. And if we're going somewhere else, more like the park, like my daughter Sarah would come, and then I know Sarah can if she does run.
Yeah, she can run.
Sarah can get her, you know. Yeah. But she's much better at coming back, and much better at knowing she's having fun in what she's doing, so she's okay to come back.
Exactly.
Kind that little exactly, the bit of maturity again is kicking in.
Yeah, and when you give them that bit of, when you put your trust in them, I think a little.
Yes.
Because you have to.
Yes, you do.
Because otherwise you'll just sit at home with your door locked.
That's
right. You'll never go anywhere, do anything.
100%.
You have to trust them a little bit to kind of give them that little leeway, don't you?
Yes. Yeah.
And then once you've done it once, with certain things, you think, and then once it becomes then part of your routine and part of your life, then they just go along.
Yeah. But don't they teach you how to parent?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And you know what? They also teach you how to be patient. And I think they make you a better person.
Mm.
You know, and to be more understanding. And
yes. Yeah.
Because I would have never, I suppose,
my eyes wouldn't have been opened really to, you know, disabilities or being, do you know that, you know, in that kind of way. And yeah. Now when I see even children, adults, whatever, like you're more kind of aware of what's going on around you, you know?
Yeah.
And to be a bit more compassionate, to be more understanding, and to not be always rushing, and you know, that kind of thing. And it opens your eyes a lot. It really does. And the innocence, I think, it opens your eyes to the way they see the world.
I just want to ask you a question, Laura, and I'm sure you have the answer, but do you manage to set aside time for yourself with, like, meeting a friend for coffee or going for a walk or anything socially yourself? With your husband, sorry.
Yeah.
Does that ever happen?
Very rarely, very rarely. But it's funny you say it, because I was only about 6 weeks ago, I got a little bit of a kind of a health scare. So it gave me, I think, the kick I needed.
Okay.
To put myself first a little bit with my, I suppose, the way I eat, have eaten actual meals.
Right.
Exercise.
Yeah.
Just looking after my body, to be honest, a bit more. Because I put on a lot of weight from just eating crap, really.
Yeah.
And not preparing a breakfast, not preparing a dinner. I was always running, always going.
Yes.
Because when they were in school, then I'd spend the time cleaning the house, shopping, flying here, flying there, doing this, doing that, going to this appointment, going to that appointment, going here. That's all and you see every evening, like we have every evening of the week, except Tuesday. We do something.
Okay.
We go somewhere. So I was always just racing and rushing.
Yeah.
And when that happened, I said, you know what? I joined the gym. I've lost a stone, which I'm delighted about.
Congratulations.
I totally changed my diet.
Okay.
Totally. Actually eating proper meals. And because if you're not, you know, and I know it sounds so cliche, but if you're not well yourself, you know, even feeling good, you know, if you're feeling not filling your body with not the right food and the right, you know, you've no energy, you know, you're just running yourself into the ground,
And you're running on empty, kind of snacking, you're leaving yourself last.
Yeah. Like I would cook a dinner here every day, for the lads and whatever, and I would never eat it.
Yes.
Do you know what
I'm saying? Imagine.
Yeah. I know. I was actually getting into this kind of habit of just, like, not sitting down and eating a meal.
Yes. It's like the meal was there for everybody else.
Yeah. And then you'd be going around cleaning up and washing up and doing showers and doing homework. And I remember Mikey was always saying, just sit down and eat.
Yeah.
Sit down. And I was like, oh, no, I'm grand, grand.
Yes.
But you don't realise what an effect it has on you until something happens.
Yes.
And you have to look after yourself.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's about setting time aside. Yeah,
and little boundaries.
Yeah.
Like, I know we talk about boundaries and I find it difficult to set boundaries, to be honest. I always have done, but I try just little things. They say if you can make a little change and stick to that, you know, and then make another little one and try and stick to that. And like, we all need to do something, you know.
Yeah.
And
I find
sometimes when I come out of work, out of school, and then I'm in the car and my inclination is, where am I going next? Where am I going next? You know, and I don't know, we're built that way or it's our personality. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. It actually doesn't matter because we can change. We have choices every day and we can change every day.
Like I always love walking.
Yeah.
And I found it just the last few years, it just went.
Yeah.
And I went off with the dog there a few times. And you know what? The difference you'd feel when you come back.
Yeah.
It's only a couple of kilometres and you feel Jesus, you know. It just clears your whole head.
Yes.
And makes you feel... Like, so when I feel yeah, I can take on the day now. Because I drop the other little one off for school and just go off with the dog then. And then I'd say, look, face the house, face everything else.
Yes.
And when I come home.
Yes.
But I think you let things get on top of you as well. Do you know, you can become quite obsessive about when you're at home, especially when you're at home mother, like about washing, about clothes, about yes. this, about that. When
yes.
none of it really matters. Yeah. You'll get to it.
You'll get to it, know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you need to give yourself at least an hour every day in the mornings.
Yes.
When the kids are gone to school, give yourself that hour and do something for yourself.
Yes.
And until a walk, or even if you live near a beach, drive down to the beach or yes. drive up to the, look, I love walking in the woods. I love the yeah. woods.
Yes.
Do you know, those kind of things, yeah. like they make a massive difference.
Yeah.
And it's only something so small.
It is.
You know?
It is. But it's huge.
It is huge.
And it can seem unachievable.
Yeah.
But once you say, I'm doing it.
Yeah. yeah. But you can get into such a rut and you can just, like, you know, you can just, I remember when my mother passed away last year and I just got into such a rut.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, I found it hard now to pull out of it.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of... You allow yourself then to almost like a cloud hang, you know,
yeah.
and it's just, I suppose, a year and a half later, it's just kind of, you know, it's time to,
yeah,
you pull yourself out of it a bit. Yes. And
grief is tough, though, Laura.
Well, it is.
Grief
it
is tough.
It is. And I don't think you ever realise it till you experience it, really.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, yeah. like full on, you know, when something like that happens, it's hard. It is, it's very hard.
Yeah.
And you can, when you have like a lot of, I suppose if you were going to a job every day, it's a distraction.
Yes.
But when your house is quiet, when,
yes.
and the children are gone to school and you can just, it can just come in on
yes.
you.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And you kind of have to realise, you know, it's time to do something about it.
Yeah. To be gentle with yourself and to allow yourself that cloud over your head.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
And to allow yourself not feel like doing anything. And now look.
I know, you come out.
Look at you now, look at, you know, and...
Because as well as that, like, walking was her thing.
Yes.
You know, she walked everywhere. So she'd be saying, get out and walk and do a bit of exercise. You know, that's what she would be,
yes.
would be encouraging yeah. me to do, like, eat properly yeah. and get out and do a bit of
yeah.
exercise.
Yeah.
I know, like, so my father and my sister are always saying it to me, like, you
yeah.
know,
yeah.
you need to go do something and... You know, and I know that I think as well as that, you kind of need to let go of the anxious feeling that you have that surrounds your child as well.
Yes.
And kind of allow someone to take the reins for a while.
Yes.
And.
Yes, absolutely.
Like even, like my sister would bring her like to dance and she's dancing in Clonmel this Saturday, or her father. And even that, like, I'm kind yeah. of.
Yeah.
Do you know? And now I trust it. It's not that I don't trust them. I trust them wholeheartedly.
Yeah. Yes.
It's just, and I mean, Grace is so good now. You know, she loves going off with other people
yes.
for a
yeah.
few hours, you know?
Yeah. But it's fabulous.
It's just fabulous. Yeah, it is fabulous.
Yes.
It's just to learn to step back a little bit.
Yes.
And
yeah.
kind of say, yeah. do you know what? Let somebody else,
yeah.
you know, take over the reins for a little while.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
Do you know what? It's huge, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's it huge
yeah.
because you
yeah.
you develop this kind of like hypervigilance
yeah.
where you notice everything they do, every facial expression, every movement, every especially before they start communicating with you.
Yeah,
you because you're
yeah.
seeking all the ways to know how to be part of your little child's life.
Yeah.
And you go from that then, and suddenly they've moved on and moved on, and they're chatting and they're let. You know, they're dancing and
yeah.
going to school and going on yeah. the bus and coming yeah. back. And but that's deep inside
yeah.
you as a mammy, isn't it?
It is when you have, I suppose, like when you have a child that you're trying to, for most of their life, from kind of 2 years old
yes.
to 6 or 7, whatever, you're
yeah.
you're trying to make sure that they don't hurt themselves or put themselves in danger.
Yes.
Because whereas another child at the age of, let's say, 4, would have that kind of awareness. Yes. You know, would have that awareness.
That's right.
Well, I'm not going to step out this window.
Yes.
Or I'm not going to run across that road.
Yes.
You know, and that's where you need to kind of say, right, we're after getting to that stage and we're after getting to this stage.
Yes.
It's time to kind of calm down a bit now.
Yes, yes. And you know what is brilliant actually about that, Laura, now that you've said that, it's like, keep the safety precautions in place that are needed now.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, because sometimes some of them are still needed.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And some of them aren't.
Yeah.
And that's wonderful. But it's like a measurement. You're measuring, aren't you,
yeah,
all the time?
Yeah.
And
to only come to realise that you have to take that step back.
Yes.
Because otherwise you'll never, you know, you won't know if the child is at that stage or capable, or, you know, sometimes you just have to kind of take a chance and allow them.
Yes.
You know, within obviously a safe environment, but
yes,
you know, even in parks now, like,
yes,
you know, like,
yes,
we've got to a stage where 5 minutes, and then I say 2 minutes,
yes,
we're going now, and yes, then running around,
yes,
and then, but she,
yes,
knows we're going, and it's like, I remember I used to dread,
yeah,
and I used to go up at all areas of the evening when there'd be no one there,
yeah,
because I knew what would come when it was time to
That's
go.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I think any parent listening to you say what you've just said, Laura, because that 5 minute warning and 2 minute warning,
yes,
and it does work.
It does
get,
yeah,
to the stage where it does work.
It does, and you can do it for years, and then one day it'll just, okay,
yes,
I go. Yeah,
yes,
it's time to go. And like, because, you know, it doesn't work for a long, long time, but you have to keep at it and keep at it and keep, and it'll eventually,
yes,
click.
Yes.
You know, oh yeah, sure, we're coming back here again.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Whereas that was the, like, I remember I was thinking of Mel Park, I'll never forget this, and they were really small. They were small, the two of them. And I made the mistake. I don't know why I went in there. She must have been crying to go in there or something, but I went in anyway. And we had been in there for ages, and there was quite a few people there, and she was getting, you know, just overwhelmed by it all. So I said, right, it's time to go. And she just lost it. And she was on the ground. And of course, Ella was only 2, I think, at the time. So she started to roar because Grace,
yes,
was roaring.
Yes.
I said, oh my God. Everybody was staring at me as if I had like devil children. Ella was only a tot. She was upset because Grace was upset. I picked her up, and I was trying to hold Ella as well.
Yes.
And I'll never forget, like, not one person, do you know, would even, now I'd say people are also afraid to approach.
Yes.
Do you know? So eventually anyway, I got up to the car, and she was pulling my hair, she was biting me, she was kicking me. So I strapped her in, and she was belching her head off the back of the chair, and I was sitting in the front seat, and poor Ella was screaming and crying, and I just started roaring.
Yes.
And they said I could hear a knock on the window, and I was like, oh God, and I looked at there was this poor girl, as lovely as girl, she was only really young, she had a young baby in her hand, and I put down the window, and she said, do you want to take a step out for a minute? She said, they're strapped in, nothing can happen, it'll be fine. And I remember I just got out, and I just had to calm myself. I needed like just 2 minutes.
Yes. Yeah.
But you know, and I never even, I don't know who she was, but she calmed me down that day without,
yes,
even realising it really,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
And I was just saying, we're gone from that to now being 5 minutes, 2 minutes, we're going, you know, that's the difference.
Yes.
And I always remember that. And whenever we're having a bad day or wherever we're having a bad week, I always think, do you know what, look how far we've come. Like,
yes.
You know?
Absolutely.
So don't fret the days that are bad, because there's always plenty more good ones to come.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know? And it's, I always keep that in my head, that, because it's such a comparison.
Yes.
Of such a simple trip to the park, but of how much we are changed within 5 years. Four years, you know?
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
You know?
Laura, you're amazing. And is there anything regarding your well-being now that you'd like to ask me? Is there anything that you'd like to ask as we kind of
well, I suppose,
wrap this up?
I suppose, what was your, like, you're saying, you know, we should all, you know, take a time out for ourselves, and do you, like, would you think, you know, a family outing or a solo outing, or, you know, just yourself and your partner, or what way do you think would work best for people?
To be honest, and I'm not giving you a short answer because I'll say more, but I'd say a combination of all of it.
Yeah.
But I'd say you definitely, I think any mother, or if it's the dad doing the most of the caring, any father, but the main caregiver, so I'm going to say you, you need that time every day. Whether it's whatever amount of time you can give to yourself, whether it's for the walk, whether it's to sit and have your dinner, whether it's just to sit and relax and whatever it is that does it for you, do it.
And it's just to find that, isn't
and,
it?
And that's like a little building block. Yeah. Find you'll know it.
Yeah.
You know, even thinking back, like I used to say sometimes to myself, Anne, what used you love like when you were a teenager or in your 20s? What music did you like? What did you love kind of doing? And, you know, and I say, because that's still me. I'm still Anne, even though I'm other people's persons. I'm still me. And how we can get lost a bit in all of it.
Yeah, it's true. You know what? You're only after... I used to love horse riding. And I haven't done it in, geez, I'd say 10 years or more.
Yes.
And do you know what? That's something now I should aim to get back into.
Yes.
Because I always loved it.
Yes.
Just when you said like, things you liked in your
that would be beautiful. You see, that would be beautiful
for
you. And there's something then, you know, yourself and your husband, if you got, like, have a date night, if it's once a month.
Yeah.
Like, it needn't be once a year or once a week. It could be once a month or once every 6 weeks. And kind of, I think it can be just as lovely to go out, you know, early and come home early. It needn't be a big deal. It could be jeans and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
It could, you know, it doesn't have to be the big, you know, it can be if you want that. But I'm saying those things are just as lovely and just as nourishing as a couple.
Yeah, I know. No, you're right. You're dead right. It is. It's time to put give yourself that little time, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Without feeling like, oh, God, I'm being selfish, you know.
Cheekers, you know, Laura, the more you nourish yourself, you know, and I'm not trying to be all philosophical about it, but it does matter.
You're right. People, and especially when you have a special needs child then as well, it's because it's 24/7.
It is.
It's not just, like, you know, you'll have your other kids and they'll become a little bit more independent and
they go
do this and do that. Whereas, you know, our children are always, you know, they rely on you 24/7.
They do. And that's the truth of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even knowing that carries its own weight.
So
it really matters that you nourish yourself. Now you're talking about literally with food as well,
but also
with things that you love.
I know,
and that matter to you.
I know, for your own mind and your own, sanity, really.
And you've more to offer them. But because you're coming from a richer place in yourself,
you're more positive and you're more fulfilled and you're more everything, you know?
Everything. Yeah. And on a bad day when you're not feeling great or when you are sad and things aren't great, you say, do you know what? This'll pass as well.
Yeah.
Because I know it'll pass. Because you've experienced the other, the side when it's been good.
Yeah.
And when you felt great after a walk and when you've felt great because you put yourself first.
Yeah.
And made sure you had your dinner, kind of thing, like simple, ordinary things.
I know.
But you feel, I did that.
Yeah, I know. And then you'll eventually lead on to bigger things, you know?
Yes.
Over time.
But bit by bit, little by little, is really good, and it's more than enough.
Yeah.
No, Laura, I really want to just thank you for sharing your journey with us. And I want to acknowledge you for the way you show up for your family every day and the huge amount of growth that you've achieved in your journey. That's And I really graciously want to thank you for sharing it.
Thanks again to Laura for taking the time to share her story. If you know someone who could benefit from listening to this conversation, please share it with them. To receive updates when new episodes are uploaded, visit our website, diversewellbeing.ie, and enter your email address. We'll be sending out free resources for parents in the coming weeks. This is Diverse Wellbeing, empowering parents and embracing wellness.